Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Good afternoon, by the way, if it is afternoon. Maybe it's evening. Good day, whatever the case may be. Good day to you. Bishop Randy Dean here with you for this episode of I'm Alive to Love. This is the No BS Bishop. I believe that all lesser values than love have the tendency to slide into bait and switch, which is to offer one thing when in reality, I'm just going to switch it over and surprise you with what I really want rather than to love. Love is the only value that is worth living for. So that's why I'm here every week to unpack, to teach, to muse over, to meditate on the power and the principle of love. Today's topic is going to be processing and problem solving through love. All right, buckle up, buttercup. Processing and problem solving through love. All right, we'll get there in just a moment, but every episode of the No BS Bishop, we do a few things to keep us on the straight and narrow. And how we do that to start with is I give you Love's Creed. And I've written Love's Creed as a New Year's resolution over a decade ago, and it just stuck. I'm hanging on to it, and I'm caught up in the principle of it. It's a good container for how to meditate and to muse through life, to keep myself steady and to be a person of purpose, if I can get it out and say it. So a person of purpose through Love's Creed. Here's what I'll do. I'll read it through for your hearing one time through. Then we'll come back and I'll offer it to you in short bursts so you can repeat after me. So first of all, let's read through it all the way and then we'll come back to it like vows at a wedding altar. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now that's it in total. I want you to repeat after me because it is so important for our ears to hear our own voice say the things that are our priority. It's important for the integrity of your thoughts, the integrity of your own commitment in life, and it's just important for keeping these words alive inside of you to replace the negative musings that can go on so easily inside, and to put in there the musings of love, the musings and meditation that's positive and straightforward to keep you pointed toward a bullseye. All right? So I'll give you a phrase, and then you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it. If you'd like a copy of this, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, lowercase, @gmail.com. I'd be happy to type up a copy and send it to you or answer any other questions you might have about what we walk through in this broadcast, some of the challenges that I hope are being presented to you. I hope you're asking hard questions. I hope you're you're wondering, how do I do this thing called love? And that's really what this is about. This whole broadcast has been in place here for 4 years to challenge us to be about love. And it's to challenge me to give you the practical purposes, some place to hang your hat, a place to muse and meditate, to contemplate what it is that love calls me to. I say here every week, there is no value higher than love. Every other value that we carry as a priority above love, it just slides into the potential of BS. And as long as we're BSing people, we're not loving people. We're not giving people a straight priority by which to love. So that's why today I want to tackle the notion that there's a means of processing and problem-solving life through love. So in my own life, I've come to this fits and starts, failures and successes. I've stood, I've fallen. I'm no perfection model here of what love looks like. What I am is somebody who's going to be honest with you, not to BS you. I'm going to be honest with you and tell you I've struggled through my whole life to learn to love. And I've also come to the conclusion that that's what love ought to do. It ought to put you in a position, in a posture of struggle. I think we're all looking for a struggle-free reason or priority for life. I think we're all looking for the pill. Give me the pill, and then I'll fix everything in my life, and I'll be okay. Well, while a pill here and there might be necessary for certain other mental health issues or ailments, there is no pill for love. If there was, I would I'd sell it and be a kabillionaire. But there is no pill for it. Love is what you have to be a pilgrim toward. Love is the marathon toward which you train and you run. I'm a runner, and I understand that if I'm going to run a marathon, say if I'm going to run a marathon next April, well, then I better start right now. And right, this is the first day of November that I'm recording this. I better start right now training toward that marathon, because I'll never get there any other way. The training is more important than trying. I could go up there and somewhere and get into a marathon in April and say, I'm going to try, but if I didn't train, I'm in trouble. There's a mouthful for you. I could try, but if I didn't train, I'm in trouble. So it is with love. You can try, but if you don't train, you're in trouble. Training for love. It's processing and problem solving through love. So I want to talk to you about that today. First, this whole idea of processing. It's learning how to see life through the lens of love and understand that when others are not behaving well and they're difficult to love, and yeah, I know, you've got a few in your life, I've got a few in my life, when they're not easy to love, and when love is not the first thing you think of when you think of that person, well, now it's a call for us to process what's happening here with me, not with the other person. You see, when I'm focused on the other person, well, that's codependency. That means I'm here to fix you, manage you, and control you. No matter what else it is, I may paint it up with other colors and ideas, but if I'm trying to fix you, manage you, or control you, that's codependency. And I'm the one that's sick, not you. So what I've got to do is to process what's happening with somebody who is a challenge to my love, and to process it by means of looking internally, looking at how do I define folks that are difficult? How am I musing through the day about folks who I see as difficult in my life? In fact, I would suggest that having this overt meditation about hard people to love, that's a part of the problem. It's time to find a better musing meditation. Find a whole other way of thinking about life, and may it be positive. May it be healthy. May it be strengthening and giving you a stronger view of your own life and the life around you. To process life through love is to say, first of all, I am here to love. I'm alive to love. So if I'm alive to love and I'm alive for love, then everything I do starts there. And if there for me is this massive gap for loving somebody or even loving myself, I've just discovered what I've got to do, which will be the next part of this broadcast today, and that's problem solving. So to that end, when I'm just managing through life and I find this challenge, and then the challenge says, what's wrong with them? Well, now I've got to step back and say, nope, what's missing in me? It's not even necessarily wrong with me, but what's missing in me? I would propose, and I know I'm selfish about this, I'd propose you need Love's Creed to be your daily routine and not just saying it along with me once a week or however many times you come in to this broadcast. I'd say that maybe you start the day with it, end the day with it, and make sure that it's soaking in, that it's getting into your realities of life, and that the realities of your living are being managed well through being alive to love, not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm breathing, eating, and sleeping not to regain energy for causing pain, but I'm alive with plans and dreams and designs. Locked in anything and everything that is love, I'm unavailable for anything less than love. Whew. I wanted to say that fast just to get it in my own head. That's how you process. And if that's the process, then the challenge that comes to you can be seen through those eyes, as opposed to the eyes of negativity, the eyes of codependency. Fix, manage, and control is sort of the mantra of how you can look at yourself and find out whether or not you're codependent. But if you're recruiting somebody toward an idea that you want them to serve, if you're looking to save somebody from something you determine they need to be saved from, and maybe they do, but it's not my role to save anybody. I'm not here to fix, manage, and control or to recruit anybody. To fix other lives is to miss my own health. So processing life through love, processing the world through love is a mountain climb. I guarantee you it's a mountain climb. If you look at Israel and Palestine right now, whoo-wee, process that through love. That'll give you plenty to ponder, plenty to meditate on. I'm not even suggesting I've got that figured out, but I am suggesting that's where I'm going to start my process, the process of how I view it, the process of how I view family matters, the process of how I view my neighborhood, the process of how I view the political culture of America. Woo, there's another tall order, right? How am I going to process that? Do I process it in love or do I process it with hate? And hate really is pushing other people to the other side of the world and saying, I'm here, you stay there, shut up, and let me talk to you. That's not love, that's hate. You're wrong, I'm right, shut up and listen to me. Well, again, that's a very rudimentary definition of hate. So I'm here to love. And when I'm here to love, then I'm going to process my relationships by saying, I need to hear you because I need to hear what's cooking on the inside of me. So processing, and here's the rest of my statement of purpose for today, and that is problem solving through love. If we're problem solving through love, well, then we're taking on life as a project for our own wisdom to grow. Wisdom doesn't have a stopping place. Wisdom should be the project of love in our life, to grow with an understanding about how life works and how life doesn't work. I find now that at my age, I'm 70, that there's an awful lot of decisions I made 20 years ago, 30 years ago, half of my life ago, 35 years ago, that I would not make those same decisions today based on what I know now. Now, I'm not going to hold myself accountable at 35 for what I know at 70, but I am going to look at it and find out that I've got some wisdom working for me now. My 35-year-old self did not know some things that it took 35 years to gain. So I'm not going to be unforgiving to my 35-year-old self. In fact, I'm going to give my 35-year-old self a ton of grace, an ocean liner full of loving kindness, and just make sure I'm not holding my own feet to the fire of, you dummy, how could you have done that? No, I'm going to problem solve. And problem solving leads me to wisdom. Wisdom is that which we take when we have some knowledge. We get a little bit of knowledge. And then out of that knowledge, we gain practical application to that knowledge. And practical application for knowledge is just as wide and as vast as every relationship we have. Every relationship has a different nuance to it. Every relationship has a different basis to it. So if I'm going to problem solve through love, then I have to take every circumstance. I know, I can hear you groaning. You're feeling like, oh gosh, this is a lot of work. But remember what mom and dad told you. Anything worth having is worth working for. So if you're going to problem solve through love, and you're going to have to take a hard look at yourself about how you've processed through love, and now you're going to have to problem solve an issue. Well, now we're down to this again. What about me? What about me is in need of problem solving? I know. I think, again, we want to problem solve the world. Why do we do that? Because it's an easy out to get away from problem solving me. Me is the priority here. I'm alive to love. And Jesus said, you are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. When I'm problem solving through love, I have to look deeply at my self relationship, my self conversation, my self view. How am I groaning and moaning at me? How am I fixated on my failures, my faults, what you fill in the blank? Where am I coming up short with me? If I'm to love others, I'm going to need to love myself. Now, when I'm loving myself, I'm not just being selfish here. I'm not putting you out there in the wilderness while I'm enjoying my life here in the palace of me. I'm learning that here in my respite, in my retreat of self-love, that I'm getting ready to go back out there in the world with enough self-love to keep my bearings, with enough self-love to be able to take an emotional hit without being brutalized by it, with enough self-love that my forgiveness for others is as big as my self-forgiveness, enough self-love where I walk toward recognizing others as just as in need of fixing their own life as I'm in need of fixing mine, of not fixing, managing, and controlling them, but fixing, managing, and controlling myself. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's never about controlling others. It's never about how can I scheme toward controlling them into a corner. That's a recipe for disaster. But self-control is when I learn how to manage myself enough to remain silent when the temptation is to yell or scream or holler. And again, I'm talking to myself here because I know this challenge. I know it all too well. But if I'm to love my neighbor as myself, well, now I got to click off some problem solving in my own life. When I've lived with shadows and darknesses, when I've lived with the pains of insults, when I've lived with my own self-worth being chiseled away by failures that I've lived through some failures that I caused myself, but I've also lived through some failures that others imposed on me. Now what? Now what? Do I carry that heavy weight of failure as I had it coming or I'm just a failure? Or do I recognize failure as the training camp for rising up again? I used to say a lot, and I probably should return to this mantra, and that is, I'm not promising you I won't fall. I'm promising you that if I do fall, watch me get up. I will get up off the ground. Falling is inevitable for us human beings. We're going to trip on something emotionally. We're going to trip over some insult, some pain, some unforgiveness, some rude behavior. That's just going to happen as human beings. We're never going to do it all perfectly. But if I fall, and I will, watch me get up. Watch how I reconcile myself in the middle of that fall. Watch how I forgive when somebody's intentionally or unintentionally tripped me. Watch how I get up and dust myself off. Figure out now what way do I go, which manner do I, how in what manner do I speak, and or not to speak. Sometimes it's more important to just shut up than it is to speak up. I hear a lot of people talking about we just ought to speak up. And for some points and references, that's true. But it is not the rule for life. I've regretted more things that I spoke up over than what I shut up over. I can always come back if I shut up and say something later. But once I speak up, well, those words are out in the atmosphere, and you can't put those feathers back in the pillow once you break the pillowcase open. That's my point. I'd rather shut up than speak up because I can always come back later and say what needs to be said. But in the meantime, the Proverbs say, even a fool is wise when they remain silent, seems wise even when they remain silent. There's a new proverb, not in the Bible, but a fool seems wise and they remain silent, but if a fool speaks up, they will erase all doubt as to who the fool is. So let's be wise about that. Problem solve through love. Love says, that may be, if somebody insults me. Well, that may be. Love says, okay, that's something I'll have to consider. Something else I'll say about an insult is, I don't know. Sometimes I have to say, yeah, I know, I can fall like that. But at the end of the day, when I've gone through it often enough, I can say when I'm insulted, like the 10th time, I can say, well, nice try, but I'm not biting. So all of that is to say it's a process and it's a means of problem solving. Life is complex and it's going to require that love is the measure. Love is the true north. Love is the target. It's the bullseye. Love is the premise from which I start so that I can finish in, you guessed it, love. So, here at the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, we do a couple things when we close these broadcasts. And boy, oh boy, in terms of what I just talked about, this first one is pretty important. And that is learning to slow down our breathing when we feel ourselves being agitated and angry, insulted and hurt. It's important to find a way to just stop and breathe. Give yourself that moment to just sit up straight or stand up straight. Hold your head up in as strong a way as you can. Look up into the sky. And there's a four square count for breathing I just learned not long ago, and that is inhale to the count of four, hold that breath to the count of four, then exhale to the count of four, and then just stay still for the count of four. So let's inhale up to four, up to the number four. Ready? Inhale. One, two, three, four. Hold it. One, two, three, four. Exhale. One, two, three, four. Now be still. One, two, three, four. Not easy to do, is it? But it's a great practice. It's a great means of silencing yourself, changing the aim of what you're feeling. And if nothing else, it's just giving yourself a Sabbath, a short miniature Sabbath in the middle of your day and learning how to hold yourself in an aim for love. Self-love and love for others. Now, speaking of love for others, the other practice we give here on the No BS Bishop is to find the means by which we can say to someone, somewhere, somehow, with eye contact and slowing down, the three most powerful, charmed, and holy words in the human language: I love you. Slow them down. Say them intentionally. Say them purposefully. You may startle somebody, and that somebody may be you that you're startling by giving that out with such intentionality that it's startling on both sides. My wife and I practice this. We even practice it with our little dog. But I've practiced it with multiple other people. And I think if you will practice it, you too will find out this is a healing practice. To say with eye contact and a slow rhythm, I love you. Well, it changes you first. It'll certainly change the person you're speaking to. Because some folks, and I've learned this to be the sad truth, some folks in this world, some folks in this life, haven't heard those three magical words in weeks, months, maybe even, sadly, for years. Their deficit in this world, their love deficit in this world, is an aching wound. And it's just not going to be fixed with, I get it, with one moment of saying, I love you. But there's a moment to start. There's a moment that might jumpstart somebody's soul to believe that, what? Did you just say you loved me as I am, not as you want to fix, manage, and control me? Did you just say those magical words that I haven't heard in my whole life? And now they're left to figure out, what do I do now? And we're left to figure out, well, what do I do now? I'm going to have to process and problem solve through love with this person I just committed to by saying, I love you. Whew, it's a mouthful, isn't it? But it's way better than going through life BSing folks with all kinds of other motivations. Love alone is credible. And that's why I'm here every week, and I appreciate you having given me a half an hour of your life and time. I appreciate if you're a repeat listener so much. I just can't say thanks enough. And if you're brand new here, come again next Saturday at 9:30, at 5:30, and next Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Next Saturday, 5:30 p.m., next Sunday, 9:30 a.m. And I'll give you some more challenge here on how to be alive to love. God bless you. Go out there and do something beautiful in this world, because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for folks of beauty to arise and shine. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.